Well, we're with one of the famed photographers of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and racing throughout the United States, John Mahoney, the author of the book Full Tilt. This is Pat Sullivan with another IndyCast. And John, how long have you been out photographing the Indianapolis 500?
You're talking to a real old-timer. I attended my first race in 55, so that's like 53rd race. I've been shooting here since about 65. And
1965, your first race, Jim Clark comes home with a victory that particular day. And where were you set up?
In 65, actually, I was still attending IU, Indiana University, so I was just basically up here on the weekends, and I think we only had a bronze badge, so just shot in the garage area and those areas. So I wasn't shooting in the turn. In fact, I was sitting in a seat race day.
You know, one of the things that's made photography different, of a place like Indianapolis, there was a time when the driver was exposed. You could see them. You can see them work the wheel. You can see their facial expressions. Of course, they're a little bit more covered up now. I suspect from a photographer, the old days were a little bit more interesting.
Oh, yeah. And you know me, I hang around sprint cars, and you can still see the driver working pretty hard there. But yeah, I definitely remember the roadsters and remember some of the upright cars, too, when I started going early. So, oh, yeah, if you see their arms moving and working, and that was a thrill. But I still love the place. Still love it.
We've talked about this many times. One of your early racing heroes was?
Ed Elysian, as a matter of fact. He was a hero just when I was a kid, only because I found Bill Vukovich, you know, was one of the greatest drivers ever raced here, and I'd have read that Elysian was a good friend of Vukovich, so, you know, any friend of Vukovich was a friend of mine. So I started following him pretty closely, and again, I watched him race sprint cars, things like that, and he was actually a pretty decent chauffeur. And 1958, when he finally got a good car here at Indy, and he's in the front row with the fastest qualifying lap. He didn't have the fastest average. And I told all my friends, that's all he needed was a good set of wheels, and look out. And unfortunately, look out. So he was, you know, kind of his own worst enemy in a lot of ways, too. But he was a hero of mine.
A little bit unfairly branded as the culprit in the Bob Swigert accident at Salem, although photographic evidence clearly shows there was no contact there.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, and I've seen video or film of it. Some blamed him, but he got blamed for a lot of stuff, you know, after Indy in 58 and before then, too. He was not tremendously popular with a lot of the drivers, but like I say, I like to watch him run. He was on the gas.
Were you among a handful of Elysian fans, or were there others of your ilk?
Probably a handful. I was so enamored with him, you probably know this too, but I tattooed his name on my shoulder, which is still there. Luckily, it's not visible when I wear a shirt, but I was just fascinated with the guy, and I saw him race the Hoosier 100. I saw him run sprints, and he just became somebody that I really watched. He probably wasn't my all-time favorite driver, but certainly one that I cared about. And I was really pretty upset when he died because it looked like he was kind of turning things around at the time he died. So,
well, you led me to the next question. Your all-time favorite driver?
Probably Rich Vogler, although A.J. Foyt's awfully close. Again, hanging around short tracks, sprints, midgets, dirt cars, and so forth, Vogler was one of the most amazing drivers I've ever seen run. But I've got to put Foyt right up there, too.
What's the trick to getting a good shot here? Is it hard? Is it difficult? Is it the same as being at Terre Haute, for example?
Oh, it's some of the hardest work you can possibly do. We don't want to tell anybody that it's not that hard. With digital cameras now and things like that, it's making it even easier. But I actually just got to pay attention. You know, I shoot the race and the turns, and some guys, you know, just kind of after the first 10 laps kind of sit down or, you know, start wandering around as if they know nothing's going to happen, and that's the key. You've got to pay attention. Keep your eyes open, and same with, you know, any short tracks. I mean, you can kind of anticipate some things, and some drivers kind of send you messages that you ought to watch them, you know, but just, I think, paying attention and just doing it for long enough, you kind of get the knack of it, too.
Interesting, the change in technology. Last night, a friend of mine had scanned some pictures onto a DVD. I was messing with the computer. I could enlarge it. I could move it around. I could zoom in. It seems to me that technology has been allowed us to do some amazing things with photographs.
It has been incredible. 5 years ago, I thought I'll just finish shooting with film. I didn't, you know, and the technology was good, but it wasn't that great. Plus, it was a lot more expensive then. But they made it so easy and comparatively inexpensive to do this. I took the plunge about 3 years ago, and I love it. I love it. It's, you know, I'm an old dog, but learning some new tricks, and it's amazing what you can do with it. You know, you don't have to spend time in the dark room. You don't have to run your film down to the lab, you know, so you can get photos for a magazine or whatever the next day. You can sit there at the computer when you get home from the track and have it all done in an hour.
Again, you put together a book of some of your favorite photographs, Phil Tilt. When you look at your period of time here, is there a couple of photographs from this speedway that you're particularly fond of, or you would put up there near the top?
Well, I shot for UPI for several years. I was a stringer for them, and usually shot in the third turn. Probably one of the best shots I got was the John Cock Kenyon crash in turn three, and that was 71 or 72. I'm not exactly positive, but it was a shot that I was lucky to get because the wreck unfolded forever. Steve Krizloff blew an engine, spun, put oil all over the track. Then Kenyon got in it, and some other guys got in it, and Kenyon hit the wall. And with motor drives, you only have 4 or 5 seconds worth of film if you're cranking them off at 3 a second. And I luckily had about 3 frames left, and just out of the corner of my eye, I saw this kind of orangish streak coming down, and it was John Cock and Mario still on the gas. And I managed to get a shot of John Cock flying over Kenyon, and Kenyon was awfully lucky to survive that. But that one was published around the world. It was a UPI Sports Picture of the Month. And I suppose another shot was just an accident, and this is back in 65, 6, shot of Jimmy Clark. 67, I think it was, yeah. Jimmy Clark in the old garage area. And he's got his head in his hands, and he's trying to figure out what is wrong with his Lotus. And it just was a lucky shot. You really had great access to the drivers in those days, and it's been a shot that's been published quite a bit. And I might add, I've sold quite a few on eBay too. So
I would imagine that you're aware, people will tell you so, the power of the images that you produce. In other words, there are certain images that really capture people emotionally.
That's true. I mean, and that shot there of Clark says a lot, you know. And I've always considered myself a journalist, you know, and try and tell a little story with at least a lot of my photos. So, yeah, that's the point. If it says something to somebody else, that's great. And other than that, it's history, you know. And what's a pretty average shot today, 10 years from now, has becomes a lot more valuable too. So,
your first ever race was.
First ever race was, well, actually, my dad, I can kind of blame him for part of this addiction, too. He used to take me to Art Zip Speedway in the old days and 16th Street Speedway, which is across the track, the original 16th Street. So my first races were probably midgets in 52 or 53 coming here. My first sprint car race that I ever saw was at Terre Haute, and that was in 59, and that's where I really developed a major problem with this sport, you know, because I saw, wow, these are the greatest cars I've ever seen. And, of course, in those days, a lot of our heroes here were still running them there. And, I mean, you think of Foyt, and this is after he's won 2 500s, and he'd still strap on a sprinter every once in a while. So that says a lot about him. And that's a sprint car without a cage, too. So, but that's the race at Terre Haute was probably my most memorable first race, yeah.
The late former commissioner of baseball, Bart Giamatti, once said the golden age of any sport is the time that you first attended. But yet, given that, as we fast forward to 2007, who are the drivers who capture your attention and imagination today?
IndyCar or what?
Either.
Well, Hornish, I mean, my God, he's a racer, and I think given a little time, he could run a sprint car. He's so brave. USAC sprint racing now is just loaded with young kids. Admittedly, got a lot of money, and but they've got the talent to drive them too. And so, I mean, there's Brady Bacon, Kevin Swindell. There are just so many good young sprint car drivers coming along too that you know, really have been watching. IndyCar-wise, yeah, I guess I probably root for Hornish. Anybody with any association with short track open wheel racing is an automatic favorite. So Al Jr., little known fact maybe, but John Erb, I have photos of him running a midget at Winchester. So anybody that runs a midget at Winchester is okay by me. So there's a couple, three others that still have a bit of a link to short track open wheel racing too. So they would, you know, be ones I'd really root for.
Things have changed a lot since 55, obviously, but when you come underneath the tunnel and the grandstand into this place, what's the experience today?
It's always a thrill. You know, I love it. I mean, race day, my God, there's still not a better time in sports, you know. And we get in the track pretty early race day morning, and just the sun coming up and hearing the helicopters and the crowd start to fill in, and then, of course, the ceremonies beforehand, the first lap. It's just as neat now as it was 20 or 30 years ago for me, absolutely.
Any close calls out here for you over the years?
Out here, no. I mean, I've had to dodge a few in the pits occasionally, you know, when I wasn't paying close enough attention. I know, no, not really out here so that I can talk about probably, but... I haven't had any real close ones at all. There's been a few crashes in the third turn where debris has, you know, gotten close, but nothing that I felt, you know, unsafe.
You've had an unusual circumstance, unusual for most people, in that some people that you lived with and palled around with and shared apartments with, you saw them actually get to realize a dream and come here and run. On race day, that might have been neat for you.
Absolutely. Sprint car drivers, you know, that I came to really get attached to, and like I say, that years ago it was much more a partying bunch than it is now, and by God, we were in the middle of it. But guys like Bigelow and some of those drivers that you knew had it in them, and when they made the race here, that was an absolute thrill. Poncho Carter, you know, Carruthers, a lot of the drivers from that era. It made race day a little more nervous for me, because you just were hoping everybody gets through it okay, you know, because you really had a personal attachment to some of those guys. It's still a thrill, and of course you want everybody to make it to the end, but in those days, seeing some of your buddies out there, and you know, after qualifying they'd be waving to us in the third turn, and it was a real attachment and a real real thrill to see them make it.
Well, John Mahoney's work has been good enough to land him in the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame, so thanks very much for stopping by.
Thank you, Pat. Appreciate it.